Hi everyone, this is Aoife McIntyre, your host at Radiant Health Radio. We're on episode 3 of my podcast, and I am here with a very good friend of mine, Ms. Charlene Chung. She is a fellow health and well-being advisor, and she's one of my best friends. We'll be working very closely together in the next coming year, and I just wanted to introduce you guys to her because we just really have a laugh all the time and have really meaningful conversations that I think everybody needs to know. So having said that, welcome to the call, Charlene.
Thank you for having me.
If everybody notices, she's actually quite posh in the way she speaks.
Because this will probably come across as not posh now.
No, you sound posh, Charlene. So basically, I just wanted to tell everybody that myself and her kind of slag each other sometimes, and I call her the lady, and she calls herself the lady as well. I just wanted to let everyone know, having said what I said with Alex last podcast, it was the fact that Charlene says she's a lady and she loves herself enough to be able to say this, and she deserves to be able to say this if this is what she wants to be. So I wanted to say that to my followers out this week, like, be whatever you want. If you are proud enough of who you are, well then say who you are and be able to say that. So having said all that, also I wanted to say as well, I called out to her in the last podcast in one of my messages saying that she was free. And the reason that she's on the call today is because we're going to talk a lot about being free from emotional eating, and how really I wasn't free at one stage, but Charlene was. And I used to really observe her. I really observed her in general, and what she did and how she coped with all these things. So we're going to give you guys a lot of tools and tips during this podcast. So also, I think it's really important, we'll talk about how we met. I'll start off the podcast with that. Basically, we worked together in a really negative environment, and when I was going through, a lot of you guys may know that I did Galaxy Girl competitions, and when I was doing my first competition in May of last year, I started on this crazy diet. I started on the tilapia and the asparagus, you know, 3 times a day, egg whites and just 9 almonds, and that was my routine. And I was eating the fish so much that Charlene started slagging me, and I got the name Fish Face.
Well-deserved name.
Well-deserved name, because I used to stink up the office with the fish that I was eating. So because of that, I used to call her Meat Face, Meathead, because she used to eat so much meat, and she always loved her food. And now I kind of resented her for being able to do this. So we're going to give you guys all the tips and tools to how to be able to love your food and be able to be free from emotional eating. And also, as well, I have a new name, guys. It's now Coconut Head, which I'm way more happy with, because I put coconut in everything. So I prefer that to Fish Face.
And I actually like coconut.
So. Yay, all winner. So do you want to talk, Charlene, about some of the things that we're going to go through?
Yeah, sure. I think it's important to start with the emotional eating, and to say I think the main reason I don't emotional eat is because I don't ignore my emotions and try and put them onto other things. For example, emotional eating is a way of ignoring the emotions you're feeling and putting them onto some sort of outward source. So, you know, it can even be binge drinking, can be another one, all kinds of behaviors like that, where you're ignoring what you're actually feeling and instead you're replacing it with something else. So, for example, the emotional eating, a lot of people just feel really bad about something, and rather than sitting there and thinking about it and how they could fix it, they just kind of do emotional eating as well. They think it possibly might be easier to do that. But actually then they're learning not to cope with things in real life, really. I spend a lot of time, if I feel anything distressing, I'll spend a lot of time sitting there and thinking about it and not trying to ignore it, which, you know, a few years ago was really difficult, because when things happen and you have to sit there and think about horrible feelings, I used to try and avoid it. I didn't do emotional eating, but there's other things that you can do, other unhelpful behaviors, and I would ignore my feelings that way. But now what I try and do is think about them. And, you know, it's like Aoife said in her last podcast, it's okay to feel crap. There's nothing wrong with that. But the difference is if you let it impact on something else in your life, which is not a good idea. So I try and deal with the emotions that I'm feeling and try and rationalize them, try and think about them in the bigger scale of life, try and ground myself as well, and just think, put it back to basics and think, well, is this actually as bad as I think it is? When I think of it, when I think of it at the moment, it feels really horrible. But thinking about it in the bigger scale and looking at my life, can I get over this? Do I have to put up with this? Can I move on from it? And that's basically the way I kind of try to think about it.
I mean, it was really surprising for me, Sharon, to find out that you kind of developed this own strategy that you have, and I've sort of learned that strategy from you, and, you know, using my own tools and things like that and my own way to deal with my emotional eating. I think this could be very helpful, your strategy, for a lot of people. The fact that, like, you know, you're saying there that, okay, you could emotionally eat, but you could do other things. You could basically be using any coping mechanism, like drinking or shopping. Mm-hmm. Just doing things in excess.
Avoiding your emotions, basically, and putting it onto some sort of outward behavior or outward source and venting it in that way isn't always the best thing, because the emotions aren't going to go away. They're still going to be there. And then you actually end up with the emotions that you can't deal with, and you end up with this destructive behavior as well, which doesn't help you at all.
I mean, that's why you're on the call this week, because I wanted to talk to you about basically the fact in my radiant model, ice is the fourth letter in my radiant model. And that why I was and we used this, Charlene, with the people that we worked with as well, that we were really trying to, what I was trying to get people to do was focus on their feelings and accept them and go through them and just be aware of the mind-body connection and how they respond to each other. And that is quite hard to do. It's do you know what I mean? It's a very hard thing for someone to focus on, like you said.
Yeah.
First, when you started doing this strategy for yourself, you found it really distressing and it was really, really hard.
It's not simple. I'd say it has taken me, you know, a good few years of slowly being able to do it with different things in my life. And obviously the hardest things I've had to deal with in my life were the ones that I came to terms with last. So it started off with small things, and now I feel like I have reached this point where it doesn't mean that I'm immune to bad feelings or sadness. I still get that, and anger, I still get that. But the difference is I'm not going to let it impact on my life, because it's not helpful for me. It's not helpful for the people around me. And the people who may have caused me to feel angry probably don't even care. They probably moved on from whatever it was. So the only one is actually left with negative feelings is myself. So for me to allow myself to have those negative feelings for too long is just self-destructive to myself, and I'm not going to let that happen anymore. And I've just seen a massive change, and I just feel, like you said, completely free. Like, I do just feel completely as if even if something negative comes into my life, it doesn't mean that I think I'll be able to deal with it straight away, but I know that I will see it through to the other end. And I think having that control and having that confidence is what helps you see it through to the end, believing that you can see it through.
Definitely. A few of the things you just said there, going back to them, is that I really like what you said, that it's a slow and progressive. Guys, this is recovery, okay? It's recovery. Yes. It's not another diet plan. It's, you know, you're working all three things, your spirit, your mind, and your body at the same time. When you're starting a new diet plan, just, you know, don't start a new lifestyle and work on all three things together. You need to take small steps, like you said, and, you know, you have to reach a point really in all this where I know that you and I can do this now, Charlene. I know you're slugging me because I can't talk. Anyway, I know you and I can do this right now, is that we've come to the stage where we can challenge our feelings and use the energy very, very slightly each day instead of, you know, being stressed all at once. We can use some of that energy and have, you know, average days sometimes, but amazing days other times, and just work with the energy in our body, because we're really aware of how our mind and body and spirit are connected now. And I don't think a lot of people do that. And, like, just going back to the recovery thing, a Florence Nightingale quote that I really like is that a hospital should never do any harm. And hospitals do harm, guys, okay? We've worked in a few hospitals together, Charlene, and we know that they do harm. You know, we just have to be really, really aware of, are the things that you're doing, are they actually helpful at all? Are they harmful to you? Like, are the people that you are, you know, using in the industry, are they helpful or harmful to you? Just be aware of what things are working and what aren't, because your body will tell you. If you're exhausted, your body will tell you that's not right. If nutritionally you're still binge eating, your body will tell you it's not right. So just be aware of what your problems are and find out what the reason you have these problems in the first place. Leading on from that, I just also, like, wanted to say a little bit about Someone else, Charlene, that I was speaking to this week was talking about being free and things like that. And I really think that this is kind of a hidden message, but I really think that, you know, in order to be able to connect with people and really feel empathy and help them, you have to have had gone through that suffering and pain. So for anyone who's listening to the podcast right now, doesn't know why they're suffering or doesn't know what these pain feelings mean, you have to sit down, like Charlene says, and go through them and understand them. Use a diary, maybe like I do. I mean, Charlene uses a different type of mechanism to go through her emotions, and she can talk about that when I finish this point. But just, you know, document it, be aware what helped you, because at the end of the day, you might be able to help someone else. And, you know, you should feel the self-worth to be able to do that as well. So I just want to ask, Charlene, you have told me before that you don't write a diary like I do, but you do it in your head. So could you talk about that a little bit, kind of like you're your own counselor, you're your own psychologist, really?
Wait, I look a bit of a psycho because I talk to myself.
Oh, it's okay. Internal.
Yeah. No, I think a lot in my head. I spend a lot of time, you know, in my head talking to myself. I feel like I'm good to myself. I feel like I'm helpful to myself, which I've never had before. Yeah. It was almost like previously in the past, I would have myself who was just living my life, and then I would have this other voice in my head, not in a psycho way, but just a voice in my head which would tell me negative things. It would make me see things in negative light. And I knew I didn't want to, but I couldn't help but think them. I couldn't help but not trust people. I couldn't help but think, you know, badly of myself and that I wasn't good at doing certain things. And then from somewhere, this voice just came, and gradually it got stronger than the other one. And it was reality's voice, pretty much. Reality's voice was just talking to me. So I'm the emotional side, and I have my emotions like any other girl. I don't want people to think that I don't. So, you know, I have my anger and my upset and my hurt and things like that. And then this other voice would just say to me, you know, firstly, I'd ask myself, okay, you know, in the big scale of things, is this really going to affect my life? Do I want to move on from this, and do I not? So if I decide to move on from it, then I'm going to, and I'm going to think about it rationally. And I'm going to think, well, you know, this friend has, you know, done this to hurt me, or this person, it really annoyed me when they did that. And I think, well, actually, does it really matter? If it's something really simple, does it matter? It doesn't affect who I am, and I'm not going to let it affect me. And if I want to stay a positive person, then I will be. And if, you know, I also spend time thinking about other people's behavior. And I think sometimes in society, we are very quick to blame other people because we almost feel like we deserve to blame other people.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's no good for me to be angry at my friend. That doesn't help me. And if I think about it, she probably didn't do whatever she did on purpose. It wasn't done intentionally to hurt me. But sometimes we think, oh, she said this, so I'm going to be really annoyed at her. Well, why? Because actually, if you think about it, she probably didn't even mean it. She probably doesn't even realize she said it. If you're that annoyed about it that you think it's going to affect your friendship, then you speak to that person. And you make sure you find out exactly how they felt, because they probably didn't even mean it. So for me to stress over this thing and have negative thoughts in my head about that person is not helpful to me at all. Yeah. So why would I put myself through those negative emotions? Yeah. So it is about grounding yourself and thinking about, in reality, does this make a big difference? And do I want to be the type of person that thinks negatively of people? Or should I just give them a second chance? Just because I feel like I deserve to be annoyed at someone doesn't mean that I have to be.
Yeah. There's so many things there, and I think that what I picked up on in Charlene was that the fact that you trust the simplistic voice basically in your head, you trust the real voice. Do you know what I mean? You trust the one that made sense to you. So exactly. I try to do that to people. I'm trying to say, you know, during my clients, I'm kind of saying, well, trust your instinct. Say it for me.
Instinct.
Thank you. I'm trying to tell my clients, okay, well, I have this plan and it's only a basis. So what works for you? You come back and tell me and we'll readjust your plan. That's patient-centered care planning. That's nursing. Yeah. That's good nursing care. That's an individualistic approach, which everybody needs to consider.
Yeah.
Well, you're an individual, and you know you have your different strengths and your different weaknesses, and as long as you're aware of both, you can work with that. So you trust the simplistic voice that you had. And then also wanted to say about what you said there was really funny about basically that, you know, you stopped kind of worrying what other people were thinking. Okay, now I've done a lot of exposure work with people with cognitive behavioral therapy, and basically I've brought people out and kind of people who were socially withdrawn because they have social anxiousness, and kind of showed them that, you know, me and them would kind of like do things like we would scream in the middle of the shop and see did anybody mm-hmm. notice. A lot of people don't actually care, guys. They're too involved yeah. in their own world to even
know. It's all in your head.
Yeah. Yeah, it's completely all in your head. Like, it was really, I found the it was one of the most fun things that I could do. It was just kind of, you know, shout out and see does anybody actually even look up, and most people didn't. And, you know, we used to do things like that all the time, and, you know, people kind of maybe looked at us for once and go, oh yeah, okay, well, they're a bit crazy, those two, but
then they forget about it.
Yeah, forget about it. And they didn't come up and, you know, nothing happened. So just be aware of that, guys. Like, really, do people really, really care? Usually they're so involved in their own world, they don't really care what's going on. And, you know, it's okay. Like, you'll be fine. Don't worry about anything, really. So I just wanted to talk about that. And then also as well, myself and Charlene, we're really into, like, you know, Chic and Chanel and things like that. We love all these things in life. And a quote that really, we really kind of like connected on a little bit. Charlene, do you want to quote it for us? Because I can't remember it.
I don't care what you think about me. I don't think about you at all.
Yeah. So, Coco Chanel said that, guys. And, like, that sounds kind of bitchy a little bit. But, like, we don't mean it in that way.
No. It can be taken in a very negative way. But, again, I think that depends on the person looking at it. Yep. If you're quite negative-minded and you've seen that in a really negative way, then maybe, you know, it would be good to try and think about how else you could see it. So the way I see it is that if there's someone negative in my life, really negative in the sense that it's affecting me, it's affecting how I live my life, it's affecting my self-esteem, because when my personality is affected, that affects the people around me that I care about. So it doesn't help anyone to have really negative people in your life, and the best thing to do is just to not have them in your life and to move on from them, not in a really, you know, cutthroat negative way, in the sense that you can just ruthlessly cut people out of your life. But again, it's reality. Is this person bringing anything to your life? If you really want to move on from them, you can move on from them.
Yeah.
And I think,
I mean, just from what you said there, the way I was thinking of the quote was that, like, basically, like, the way I think of it is I try to kind of just, I mean, because I'm quite religious, I try to sort of turn the other cheek. So if someone's negative, I don't turn back and say you're being negative, because then they just get really defensive and they start to say other things. So what I try to do is just be positive enough not to absorb the information that they're trying to kind of harm you with, maybe.
Yeah.
So, you know,
on purpose. Yeah. They're not doing it on purpose sometimes, but
yeah. So, like, you know what I mean? It's kind of just about looking for the negativity in your life, seeing what is negative, what can you kind of maybe cut, guys, if you need to. But if you have to have stuff in your life, what coping strategies can you use to, you know, keep going and, you know, maybe just turn back to them and be positive? And a lot of the time, like, what I've done is I've just started smiling at people. So, you know, and then they think I'm mental, and I don't mind. I just shout back at them, well, I'm a mental health nurse, so I know I'm not, so I'm okay. You know what I mean? I'm healthy in my mind, body, and spirit, so I understand that. And, you know, it's kind of really funny. A smile does say a lot of things, and making people laugh really does help. And that's what I'm saying about my podcast. That's what I want my podcast to be about. I want just to make people laugh. And the way I've always made people laugh is by telling them stories and, you know what I mean, seeing people in person. And, you know, like, you know, everybody knows I can't write. So everybody sees my spelling mistakes on Facebook. Charlene, you know I can't pronounce things. It's okay. I'm okay with that. I know that. So that's what my podcasts are about. I'm sure I'm making a few people smile right now. And that's what I want to do. Because life's about laughs at the end of the day. There's a few other points, Charlene, that you wanted to mention that I think are really all Radiant Radio approved, guys. So do you want to continue with the points that you were making earlier?
The one about a pinch of salt, possibly.
Yeah, taking everything that we're saying.
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes things that I can say can almost sound unemotional, which is not my aim. My aim is for girls, mainly females, to be completely in control of their life and in control of their emotions, as we generally tend to be the more emotional gender. So I think it's important for us to be, you know, in control of them. It doesn't mean not to have those emotions. I don't want people to think that I never get angry, or I never get upset, or I never get hurt. I do, but the difference is that I feel like when it's going to happen that I have some control, and I feel like I can see through it, and if I want to get through it, then I have to commit to the decision. If I make the decision that, okay, this has happened, I'm going to get through it, I have to commit to that decision. Because if I say the decision but I don't commit to it, then there's no point in me saying it. You know, if people say, you know, I'm sick of my job, I'm going to look for a new one. Well, if that's what you're saying, then, you know, fully commit to it and really go for it. Because if you don't commit to it, you're just not even doing yourself justice, and you're just kind of lingering in limbo. And then that just brings more negativity, because you're not in a place that you want to be. Whereas even by feeling like you're doing something, it can make you more positive.
Yeah.
So I just want people to know that, yes, there will be things in life where you will be upset, and you'll feel like you cannot get through it, and you'll feel like things are the end of the world. I can imagine some people now are going through, you know, unimaginable things where they're just really upset about something. And, you know, I want people to feel those emotions. I want them to feel the hurt and feel the pain. But then afterwards, I want them to be strong enough to think about them and think about what they're worth and how they can move on from those things.
Yeah.
So that was the main thing I wanted to say. I don't want people to think that you should just cut people out of your life ruthlessly if they're negative. But it's about thinking realistically, are you doing them any favours, actually? Because some people are negative around certain people, and maybe you're not doing them any favors, maybe you're not doing each other any favors.
Yeah.
So to have negative people in your life is not going to help you or the positive people around you.
Yeah. Going back to that, I mean, what you said about being in control and things like that, we were together with severely anorexic girls, and there was always this thing about being in control. And a lot of the time, emotionally, they weren't in control whatsoever, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So
that's the ironic thing, guys, is that
exactly.
They're all obsessed about being in control, but emotionally, I know for myself, you know, having maybe kind of overate in the past, that emotionally I wasn't in control whatsoever. I was just, you know, going through loads of different emotions, but I wasn't identifying them, and I wasn't saying like what's wrong here. And I kept saying there's a problem, but I never looked at what the problem was.
Yeah. So, and I think in my past as well, I've always been so obsessively searching for control.
Yes.
And such, and now looking back, I'm like, what the hell was I doing? It was so out of control. It wasn't even in, it's so far from control. But before, you're searching for control in the wrong way. So for an example would be trying to control your partner. You're obsessively trying to control them because you're so worried about not being in control of what they do, that all you do is actually push them the other way.
Yeah.
And now, even though I feel free, at the same time, I feel in control.
Yeah.
So I think being fully in control of your emotions, there's a freeness to it because you finally are in control.
Yeah.
So you can sit back and you have confidence in yourself so much that you don't have to strive for the control anymore. You don't have to force yourself to be in control of everything. I have a lot of faith that I am in control of my emotions, and that when something comes up,
yeah,
I feel like I'll deal with it the best way I can. Doesn't mean I'll deal with it perfectly, but I do feel like I'll deal with it the best way I can. And that gives me that freedom to kind of sit back a bit more and live through life, rather than every day trying to kind of control something.
Definitely. I mean, I completely agree with that. I feel like that now too, Charlene. It's like I have this kind of relaxed state that I'm aware of being able to control my emotions. And a lot of the time, people aren't trying to control their emotions. They're trying to control their environment around them.
Yeah.
They need to realize they're not actually in control of the world. They can't control other people. They can't control anything.
All you can control is yourself and the way you see the world.
Yeah.
You can't control any outside things. But the way you see the world and the way you let the world into your life, that determines what you will feel.
Yes.
So if something really negative happens, but it's not something that intrusive in my life, I won't let it into my life.
Yeah.
If I have that option,
yeah,
to just say, well, this person's annoyed me at work. Well, I'm going to be annoyed for about 10 minutes, and that's about it, because it's a person at work.
Yeah.
As long as I'm doing my job properly for the people that need me to, and I'm being professional and everything else, if someone else, you know, has something that they're not happy with, then I'm not going to let them put that onto me.
Yeah. It's about kind of, you know, just like the old saying goes, you just have to be aware of the things that you can control and change them, and, you know, being okay with the things that you can't, and realizing and knowing the difference between is where kind of education comes in, really, I think. And you know what I mean, just learning which is the difference is the hardest thing that most people are trying to find to do. So that's what we're trying to do for the podcast, everybody, is just, you know, showing people a different sort of light and helping them kind of be a bit more free, maybe, to live their life in general. So just wrapping up on everything that we've said, did again, Charlene, my secret messages, thanks for picking up on me. I wanted to lead on from basically another point that you were making was about, and you can add to it, Charlene, because I know you've got a few things to say.
Yeah.
I just want to tell everyone a story that when I was doing my fitness thing, Charlene was very close to me during the whole journey. I mean, she was there the whole time of it, and I started to look at kind of Wonder Woman and think, oh, I want to be like her. And Charlene never said to me once, well, you can't, Eva. She just kind of said, well, okay, yeah, that's kind of a bit mad, but whatever, it's fine, it's you. So she actually did a painting of me as Wonder Woman, which I absolutely love. You know, I look at it, I feel really empowered by it. And I decided at that point, that's who I want to do. So it's Wonder Woman with blonde hair. I'll post it on my Facebook, guys, it's amazing. But so I think that there's something here. Charlene basically was a person who held me up in my own strength. And that's why I'm so close to her right now. She kind of showed me my full potential. And if it was the fact that I wanted to be a superhero and I have superhero powers, that's absolutely fine. I mean, as long as I'm working my strengths in my favors and, you know, having all these secret powers, maybe my strength is is healing other people who are suffering from emotional eating. That's my strength. Charlene holds me up in that way, you know? So I think that I'd just like to put that message out there. And Charlene, have you got anything to add onto that?
Yeah, I mean, basically my feeling on it is that when Aoife said she was going to start this health thing, I knew that she would do it. When Aoife says she's going to do something, she will give it everything. She commits to the decision, which is something I'm very passionate about. If you make a decision in life, you need to commit to it, because otherwise it's not going to follow through. So to me, Aoife just shows that when she wants to do something, she will commit to it and she'll make sure she do it. And that's why she's successful at it, which just shows that if you want to be good at something, you can do it. The strength is all in the mind. You have to believe in yourself to be able to do it. And if you half-heartedly believe in yourself, then it's just not going to happen. And then you're going to end up blaming other people around you. And actually, you're the one in control of it if you decide you want to do something. And it's the same with a painting. If you know, when you have a vision, you make a painting and you make it up. It can be anything you want. It can be make-believe. It can be something that other people think is completely unrealistic. But actually, if you can create that vision in your mind of a painting, why can't you create that vision in your mind for your life? There's obviously some things you can't. if you want to be 6 foot and you're actually 5 foot, clearly just by believing it's not going to happen. But actually, there's other things in life that if you really want them to happen, there's no reason why they can't, because it's all in the mind. You know, if things are external, then you can't always change that, but you can change the way you think about something, and your mind is so powerful. And some people don't realize that, I think.
And I'd just like to add there, I mean, you know, sometimes that can be kind of an intimidating message to say, oh, Aoife commits to things and she does it. Guys, I had my complete ups and downs, but the one thing that I never did was give up. And that's the thing, is that I was so passionate about looking like maybe Wonder Woman with blonde hair that I would never give up on it. And I felt strong doing it. So I continued to do the things that made me feel strong. So, you know, you might be searching for something that, you know, might not be you at all. Find your self-worth and go with that. Find your own kind of superpower and go with that. So I just wanted to say that to everybody there. But thank you for Charlene for being my guest.
Thanks
for having me. My best friends.
Thank you.
Oh, love you, me.
Oh, I love you too.
Okay, bye guys. I'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.